Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I imagine that many of you have heard the words of this text many times here in our church for worship over the years that you've been coming here. Or perhaps this is a favorite section of Scripture, as it is for me and many other Christians, that maybe you go back to again and again, especially perhaps at very difficult times, trying times, times of sadness, for the assurance of the care and comfort of your good shepherd, Jesus. I am the good shepherd. What a comforting statement of our Savior that is. Perhaps some of you in your home have a picture, an artistic depiction of Jesus as the good shepherd, maybe with a sheep over his shoulders, thinking about the parable that Jesus tells about the shepherd who goes and searches high and low for the lost sheep and then brings it back to the rest of the flock and rejoices, throws a party because he has found that lost sheep. Or perhaps a picture of Jesus as the good shepherd cradling in his arms a little lamb, expressing his care for all the sheep, even the youngest among us, even youngest in age or youngest in faith or weakest in faith. Jesus, our good shepherd, cares for each one of us. Cherished pictures of the love and care of our Savior for us. So what if someone asked you if, as they saw that picture hanging on your wall or they heard the emphasis of our worship this morning, Good Shepherd Sunday, what is it that makes Jesus our good shepherd? Why do we call him good? So what is it that makes a person good in the way that we typically think of it? How do we measure the stature or the character of a person? Certainly we can look at earthly achievements. Sports fans know all the statistics of your favorite athletes, your favorite sports stars on your favorite teams. We don't measure Jesus in that way. We also don't know what he looked like. We don't know whether he was tall or short or whether he had long hair, as we frequently see him depicted in paintings and other artistic depictions, or whether he had his hair cut relatively short. He wrote no books or other writings himself. He owned no property. He held no elected offices. He left nothing behind except for the burial cloth that he was wrapped in. All that we know about Jesus were those things that those who had been with him during the years of his earthly life and his ministry had shared with other people, and then those words that we have written down in the New Testament that were inspired by the Holy Spirit. They tell of his wonderful, compassionate personality and his character. They tell especially the fact that he never sinned, not once in his whole lifetime. He went to church regularly, the synagogue, the church of that time and place. He prayed a lot. He liked to go off by himself to pray, sometimes praying all night long. And though he held no political office, he certainly had a lot of power, but it was a different kind of power than the power that we see so often exercised in our society and emphasized. He had the kind of power that could make a sick person well in just a split second without using any human or physical medicinal intervention. He had the kind of power that could make the blind see and the deaf hear and the lame and the crippled walk and even put life back into a dead body. He used his power to help people and to show them that he is God. He is the very eternal, all-powerful Son of God the Father. And then there was the way that he talked. You could listen to him talk for hours. Not like some of us where we have difficult time paying attention even for a span of minutes. It was as if God himself were talking directly to you because it was, in fact, God himself talking directly to you. No one ever spoke or taught the Word of God the way that Jesus did. No one ever loved the way that Jesus loved or did the things that Jesus did. And then there was the way that he handled people. People don't like to be pushed around or used or ridiculed or made to feel inferior or dumb or lesser than. That's the way we see people interacting so often in the world around us or so often speaking about others. It seems that someone is always taking advantage of someone else, people laughing behind the backs of others, saying nasty things about other people who aren't there and able to defend themselves. Jesus was different. He was truly nice to people. Except, of course, maybe those who needed to be told off, who needed to be rebuked. He knew just how to handle people, all kinds of people. Instead of pushing people around and pressuring them and belittling them, he invited them to follow him. And then he showed them the way. And he had much patience with those who had difficulty in keeping up with him. For example, there was Simon, who became one of his disciples. He followed Jesus around for about the 3 years of Jesus' earthly ministry. He loved Jesus. He did things for Jesus. He let Jesus stay at his house whenever he wanted to. Jesus was thankful. Jesus said nice things about Simon. Jesus even gave Simon a great nickname, the Rock. But the Rock, Peter, wasn't always very rock solid. Sometimes he said the wrong things and did foolish things, but Jesus always lovingly rebuked him and corrected him and pulled him out of trouble, sometimes literally, physically, when he was sinking down into waters of the Sea of Galilee. Even when Simon Peter lied 3 times and denied that he even knew Jesus, he called down curses upon himself to try to prove that he didn't know Jesus at all. Right when Jesus was being falsely accused for treason, for blasphemy, right when Jesus needed all the friends and the true testimony that he could get, even then, Jesus didn't reject Peter. And later, when it was all over and when Jesus had risen from the dead, Jesus took Peter back as one of his disciples. He restored him to that position of apostle, of missionary, of shepherd under himself, the good shepherd. Jesus entrusted Peter with that mission of taking care of his sheep and lambs. And speaking of lambs, Jesus loved children, little children, and they loved him too. Jesus got angry when his disciples wanted to keep those little children away from Jesus, thinking that Jesus was too important to be bothered by little children coming to him and disturbing him and getting in the way of all the adults who needed to hear Jesus' important teaching. No, these little lambs belonged to Jesus too, not just the grown sheep. That's what's so good about Jesus, our good shepherd. The way he handled people, the way he loved them, no matter who they are or what they were, what their position or station in life and society was, he loved all of them. So it's no wonder that they loved him too. And then there was the way that he died. It was the way he died and the reason he died. He didn't have to die. He wasn't guilty of anything at all. In fact, those who opposed him paid some false witnesses to tell lies about him in order to falsely convict him of blasphemy. Even the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, said that he didn't find any fault in Jesus, certainly nothing deserving of death. Jesus didn't have to let himself be taken prisoner. He could have gotten away. He could have, as he said, called down legions of angels to come to his defense and to rescue him. But he allowed himself to be arrested and taken away so that his followers could go free and be spared from at least immediate harm. It was awful the way that the temple guard and the Roman soldiers treated him. You wouldn't even want an animal to be treated in the way that they treated Jesus. Instead, Jesus just took it like a lamb being led to the slaughter. And even after he was nailed to the cross, he even prayed for the men who carried out that excruciating torture upon him. While he hung there on the cross, he even blessed one of the criminals who was hanging on the cross next to his. And he also asked his friend and disciple John to take care of his mother Mary. He didn't have to die. He wasn't guilty of anything, but he did it for others, for you and for me, just like everything else that he did in his life. We deserved all that abuse and torture and the death that he got. We deserved to be punished because we're always doing wrong things against God's command and against other people. But our good shepherd, Jesus, took our place under that suffering that we deserve. So that is what is really good about our good shepherd, Jesus. He died for sinners, for sinful people like you and me and every other person in this world. Anyone, any person can be saved if they are truly sorry for their sins and look to Jesus in full confidence for the forgiveness of sins that he has won for us on the cross. Anyone can be saved if they let the blood of Jesus wash away their sins. Even the worst of us. As the Apostle Paul testified about himself, which he said we should all say about ourselves, I am the chief of sinners, but Jesus died for me. Jesus wants everyone to be saved and everyone to become his follower. You can tell by the way that Jesus was concerned about all kinds of people, no matter whether they were rich or poor, whether they were liked or despised in society, no matter what part of town they came from, no matter what they looked like. Jesus even sat down to talk to public enemies of his. He even ate dinner in their houses. There was one time where a rather short in stature, man climbed up into a tree because there was such a great crowd as Jesus was passing by, and this man wanted to get a look at Jesus. And most of the people in the crowd also didn't like that short man enough to let him go up to the front of the crowd to get a good look at Jesus because he was a tax collector who had cheated the people again and again, collecting more tax than he should have and keeping the extra for himself. But as Jesus passed by on that day, he purposely went past that tree where that man, Zacchaeus, had climbed up to get a good look at Jesus. He purposely stopped there and called to Zacchaeus up in the tree and said, I must go to your house today. Jesus wanted this man who had lived a publicly sinful life, who was scorned and despised by the people of his community. He wanted this man also to experience his love and forgiveness. And in response to that grace and forgiveness of Jesus, this man accepted Jesus' invitation to invite him over to his house, and he turned over a new leaf in his life. A lot of people didn't like that Zacchaeus had changed or that Jesus had come specifically into the house of this sinful, publicly sinful person. But that is what is so good about Jesus, our good shepherd. He loves all people. He is especially interested in those people who are lost, who are wandering and straying sheep, who more than any others need to be brought to God and to be welcomed as a part of God's household. Jesus wants all people to be saved, to believe in him for forgiveness, and to go to heaven. So there's no section up in heaven that's reserved for the VIPs, the very important people, the people who were more holy than most of the rest of us here on this earth. There's no cloud number 1 for one kind of people and a cloud number 9 for another kind. if we're going to heaven with Jesus, then really all of us ought to get used to the kind of company that we're going to keep up there with all believers in Jesus, no matter what they have done in this life, all who look to him for forgiveness. And so since we're going to enjoy eternal life together with them in heaven, we should probably get used to having fellowship together with them here and now on this earth. Jesus said there's only one flock and one shepherd. He loves all. He wants all people to believe in him. He welcomes all. He died for all. He rose for all. He prays for all right now, for you and me, for each one of us. He waits for all to come to him in faith. That is what's so good about Jesus, our Good Shepherd. And lots more, but that's enough for starters to tell anyone who asks you, why do you call Jesus the Good Shepherd? Let's remember all of these wonderful truths, most of all, that our Good Shepherd Jesus laid down his life for us, his sheep, for all people.